Relationships. As humans, we're hardwired for them. What would it be like to have a guide to relationships that are authentic? Tap into the collective wisdom of teachers, authors, and healers who have accumulated experience on this subject. I've learned that there are overlapping soul circles of people in our lives. Family of choice. Welcome to the family.
Okay, we're starting again. Hi, this is Edie Weinstein. I'm the host of It's All About Relationships. And each week I bring you the best of the best, folks who have written books, who are teachers, who are healers, who are visionaries. And tonight's show really grabbed a hold of me because I believe in cosmic coincidence and those connections that happen that behind the scenes that we have no clue. You know, there are certain people that aren't on our radar screen until one day they show up. And my guest tonight that's waiting on the other end of the line was introduced to me by a mutual friend that was on my show last year, Betsy Chassie, who was one of the producers of the iconic What the Bleep Do We Know movie. Betsy and I became friends, although we have not yet met. And then she introduced me to Tom Zeman, who's on the other end of the line. So Tom is the author of The Department of Zenitation, A Layman's Guide to Making Spirituality Work in Real Life. So tonight we're going to be talking about grounded spirituality. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, it's such an honor to be here. I've heard such great people on here, and I've always wanted to do your show, so I'm just very, very humbled. Thank you so much.
Oh, God, my pleasure. So a little bit of background, since you are a Renaissance man who's had various incarnations, what is your life like out in Portland?
Right now, it's perhaps the best that it's ever. It's the best of times. It is the most interesting of times. No, I've had a lot of changes. If you're really wanting the very best, you have to be able to be willing to take calculated risks. And, well, I've done some. This last one has been very good, so I'm very happy right now.
Okay. So in addition to writing the book, what do you do with your time?
I am the regional sales manager of Techniglass, which is one of the largest independent glass companies, auto glass companies in the United States. And I travel around and work with our new salespeople. Well, they're not new, but they're new to the company. And that's one of the things I do. Other than that, I do kiss people's glass. That's what I do.
Aha, okay, I like that idea.
In addition to that, I work with people all over the United States in the way of talking on the phone, acting as a life coach, doing meditations, and holding monthly satsangs in the Zen Gardens, a.k.a. my backyard. Which you'll
Wonderful.
Be out being my guest host when you saunter out here. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely, that'll be in August. Actually, yeah. So I appreciate the opportunity to come out there. So, was there an aha moment or a wake up call that changed the trajectory of your life? You weren't always this.
There's no doubt, and you hope that you realize at the point when they were. Sometimes you realize late, and it's gotten I did V8. I could have had a V8. But when I was 17, I was actually 18. I was already out of high school, and I was working as a Nautilus instructor in Chicago. And Nautilus was the big thing back then. And a gentleman came in to tour it and see what Nautilus was all about. His name was Johnny Norman. He changed my life. I come to find out that he not only was a counselor in the Chicago public school systems and he worked with inner city kids, but he also ran a martial arts studio called East West Martial Arts. And from the first time I met him, he had a smile as big and wide as any you've ever seen. He wasn't that tall, but he was huge, like built like a refrigerator. And when he laughed like a lion. He would roar. And that night, he invited me down to the studio, and I never stopped going until I went in the Navy. One thing I can tell you what was special about his form of Kung Fu, Shaolin, is that he believed there were many great martial arts schools throughout the United States, but the one thing they lacked, that most of them did, is they did not teach the meditative aspect of the martial arts. He felt that unless you had that, you were not a fully complete warrior. every class that he did was done with a different meditation. I'm not kidding when I tell you he knew well over 400. I'd be lucky if I knew, if I even could discuss 40, but he was incredible. And that was, if you want to talk aha, that was it.
So meeting him. Yeah. So when that happened, what decisions did you make about your life that said, okay, I'm going down a different path?
Well, he knew I was going in the Navy, and he told me, he said, this is your mission. He says, every place that you go, he knew I was going to be in Far East. He says, you need to go to the temples, and you need to find, the hardest thing you'll find people that spoke English. He says, but take copious notes. He goes, I've seen your handwriting. He goes, write it so you can read it. And he gave me a beautiful tablet, which I still have. And from that day on, I just started writing and taking copious notes from hundreds of seminars. I'm not exaggerating, from all the things I've listened to and the people I've talked to. And I just kept writing notes. And one day I knew 32 years ago that I would actually write a book, but I never had the confidence. I never thought it was going to be good enough. I never thought there would be enough content to it till finally the one day when I did it. And that was a couple of years ago, and that certainly has changed my life.
Right, and that's the Department of Zenitation, which we're going to be talking more about after the break. But it sounds like the inspiration that you receive from him and from the other teachers whose work is in the book guides your life. It's not just stuff on a piece of paper. It's how you live. Is that what you found as well?
I couldn't have stated that more eloquently. In fact, the book really, in this, if we talk about spirituality, there's really nothing new, as Johnny would say. It's up to us to think them over again, honestly, till they take root in our personal experience. The book, which we'll talk about after the break, has 1,000 of the greatest quotes from some of the greatest teachers, sages, wise men, soothsayers who ever lived, from Plato to Socrates to Aristotle to modern day ones like Suzuki to Eckhart Tolle to one of my favorites, Joseph Campbell. Even Betsy Chassie might be in there. You never know.
Cool beans. That's wonderful. So, folks, if you want to find out more about the book and order the book, which I highly recommend, and it's pretty hefty. It's not a lightweight book, and it's not lightweight stuff in here. You would go to tomzeman.com. And you can order the book, and it's just magnificent. It's one of those books where you can open to any page and you can find a chapter. Like the one I just opened to is Defeat. It says we're never defeated until we throw in the towel. And then it's got quotes from Muhammad Ali, who is a man who's probably faced defeat on occasion. Who else do we know? Eckhart Tolle, as you just mentioned, Ernest Hemingway, JFK, and then General George S. Patton. So as you look through the book, you're going to see folks who are not light and fluffy. You know, people think of spirituality as a cosmic foo-foo, light and fluffy thing. But this book is practical, as we talked about, in the title of the show, grounded spirituality. So after the break, we're going to be bringing people into the conversation with us, not calling in, but I encourage you to think about, as Tom and I are talking, about ways to ground your spiritual experience in walking on the earth, digging your toes in the sand and the dirt kind of feeling, because spirituality can feel like that. So it's a magnificent journey that we're all on together. So I'm Edie Weinstein. I'm your host tonight of It's All About Relationships. So we'll catch you on the other side, where we're going to be talking more about blending the world to the metaphysical and the mainstream, how to bring spirituality down from the lofty heights, and how to embody ourselves as humanly divine and divinely human. So catch you on the other side, folks.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
It's All About Relationships is a gathering of friends worldwide. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein. Join us each Thursday night from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. My guests are dynamic leaders in the field of human interaction, and no topic is off the table, from sexuality to spirituality to self-love. I'm a best-selling author, speaker, therapist, interfaith minister, and optimistic who sees the world through the eyes of possibility. Visit me at opti-mystical.com.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my wonderful guest is Tom Zeman, the author of The Department of Zenitation. And as promised, we're going to talk about how to bring spirituality down from those lofty heights and really ground it in our day-to-day reality. How do we do that?
Is that for me? Was that my cue of how do we do that?
Yes.
Well, the one thing that I will say before we go one step further is I'm perhaps the only speaker on here that will tell you and actually claim that anything I say is not correct. It's not correct mm-hmm. for anybody but myself. I'm never saying I'm right. I'm not a licensed therapist. These are just things that have helped me along the way. And the one you asked me a question in the first half, the aha moment for what Johnny would teach is something that what a great author friend of mine, Steve McSwain, great author of The Enoch Factor, would say. He talks about interfaith spirituality. Johnny had a big plaque on his wall. On Sundays, he taught classes on Taoism out of his home. And there was a big plaque as you walked in. And this plaque, this one statement changed my life. You want to hear it?
Absolutely. Go for it.
It was, "The truth is one, the paths are many." He didn't mm-hmm. say which path. He just said, find your path. The great Sufi mystic Hafiz would say that he didn't care what path. All paths led to the same place up the hill. The problem was the person at the top of the hill pointing down at people. You know, they figured that they'd made it, and now they're pointing down at other people saying, hey, you're on the wrong path. Well, that's really not it. The secret to any spirituality is finding mm-hmm. what works for you, finding what resonates with you. What works for some people won't work for others. Religion works great. If that does for you, I encourage you, stay on it. Organized religion is not for some other people. Do some other things. Some people are into nature. I highly encourage that. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of ways to meditate. I think that is one of the wonderful tools, finding one that works for you. Some people could call it prayer. Some people call it being introspective, going into the silence, as Eckhart Tolle likes to promulgate. Those are the secrets. So it's just finding what resonates for you. The key is, what I found with 17 is, you know, you're talking to a guy who his parents, they were not very educated. They weren't very supportive. They didn't know anything about spirituality. I mean, they sent me to a Lutheran school till I was 7 years old, or seventh grade, I should say. And it was all primarily to find out someone that could handle my weirdness and my intensity and not make me feel like, you know, a blathering idiot. When Johnny took time with me, it was more of an existential existence. First time in my life, I was asking, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Those questions, if you don't get anything out of this program, if you can answer those questions to yourself, honestly, your life will be irrevocably changed forever. I can speak, when I speak around the country, and I can ask 100 people this same question. I'll ask it in an audience, or I'll just ask it on the street. Hey, what's your life purpose? Now, it's really funny. Sometimes I get like a doe in a headlight look. Sometimes I get anger and deep, vehement, you know, this just seething. How dare you ask that? And other people don't do it. They never thought of it. Really, some people will plan a 2-week vacation more than they will for something that will affect the rest of their lives. So the question is really, who are you? Why are you here? What will you be remembered for? A lot of people say, well, it's my kids. Hey, that's great. If that's what your legacy is, I think that's wonderful. There's other things, too, in your life. Once you figure out what makes you tick, what's going to get you up after feeling defeat day after day early and keep going after you've heard 100 no's to get to the very next yes. And that get knocked down 8 times, as my friend John Turpin would say, and get up 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting beyond defeat. But what is it that excites you? What is the one thing that you think about all day long that you've thought about for years, and for whatever reason, you just haven't gone for it yet? You figure that out. Don't worry about the money. That'll come once you decide. There's a certain thing about the law of attraction. Now, I like the law of attraction. I liked what Rhonda had to say in her secret. I thought the power was better. But the law of attraction really only works when you're putting the effort into it. You know, it's like the guy who stands in front of the stove and says, give me heat. And then I'll add that what his intention was, he wanted heat. But the universe, as we know, always prefers the backbone over the wishbone. Once you decide that intention is very powerful, there's vibrations, not a Brahma. We know that these things are powerful. But, again, it doesn't care, and it wants to see your effort as well. I think that if I was going to point one thing at the secret to say, hey, come on, I mean, materialism is good, we need it. Just you have to add to it. You have to give into it. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, tell me if I'm missing something here.
Nope, not at all. Not that that's what I can see. Absolutely. So what, you know, as you're saying, you know, discovering your passion and purpose. You know, I find that some people don't have a clue what fires them up. How do you suggest that they figure it out if they don't know what it is?
That's the million-dollar question. A lot of times people have a lot of wishy-washy interest. They have a lot of things they know, but they haven't taken the time to sit down and think about their whole life. And it doesn't have to be really dour. Benjamin Franklin method: take a piece of paper, put a line down, and put a minus sign on one side, the plus sign on the other. The minus things what you absolutely don't like, the plus sign what you do like. What do you think about all day long? What excites you? Do you like? You have to really. There's a great book that I remember back from the 80s called "What Color's Your Parachute?" And it really was dealing with education and career opportunities. But really, what color is your spiritual parachute? If you want to take that a little further, what makes you happy? What makes you tick? What do you like? What excites you? Those are the things. When you talk about your bucket list, when you're writing down your bucket list, that's a great exercise to figure out, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy. Your idea it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's yours. Nothing worse than having someone else determine what you will do. You know, you went to a career counselor and they said, okay, you will do A, B, C, and D to get to where you want to go, and you hated it. I know it didn't work for me. Figuring out what you like. What do you think about? What makes you happy? You figure that out, and that's the key to knowing who you are and where you're going to go. And again, it's different for everybody. Some it'll be easy. They're 55 years old. They look in the mirror and they realize back when they turned 20 years old, they had the wrong plan. It was Jim Rome who said that. They just realized, what am I doing? Why am I here? Midlife crisis, you know. All of a sudden, hey, you know, we're in the seventh inning of our life, and what have we done? What are we going to accomplish? You figure that out. How do you do it? Figure out what you like. Figure out what you love. If you do what you love, you'll love what you do, and you'll get there. I promise you that. Just figuring that out. Work with a coach. Work with someone who knows you. Doing something because you want to do it that is going to motivate you when, after the initial enthusiasm wears off, because it's going to happen to everybody. You're going to get real excited, and you know how many times we'll start something, we're so enthusiastic, and then a week later, oh, it's sitting there. Like our New Year's revolutions, mm-hmm. as a friend yep. of mine, Mel Solon, used to say all the time. Just finding something that's going to continue to motivate and having and associating with the people who are going to help charge your batteries. You know, that type
Absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. So when you hit that inevitable doubt that, you know, comes in, like what I call imposter syndrome, like, can I really do this? Am I really good? What keeps you inspired when the imposter shows up?
Just stay busy. There's been so many great people that, and we all have this, energy ebbs and flows, it comes and goes. And this is not about network marketing, but I do remember one saying that from one of the network marketing groups that I had attended a class in. And they said, if you're up, the meeting needs you. If you're down, you need a meeting. It's the same thing. If you're up, you need to be sharing your brilliance, sharing what you've got, get on the phone, help other people. You'll be amazed at what comes back when you just put that out. And then when you're feeling down, call a friend. Stay busy. Stay busy. You feel so depressed, well, go out and do something. Work. Do it. Whatever it is, stay busy. Get out of the house. You know, it's, we get in these doldrums. We get in our traps. We have these golden shackles. The golden comfort handcuffs are on us. And we just feel like, oh, man, you've got to get out of that. And it'll be different for other people of what to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so staying busy, inspiring, you know, being around inspiring people. I've heard from a coach that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So not average as in boring average, but average as in who are you most like attracts like, rather than opposites attract. So being around people that inspire you and that you can in turn inspire. And I know just in the short time we've known each other that you do that, you know, that's how you seem to live. So,
like, well, you know, there's an old saying that you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I mean, that's so true. A lot of people go, well, I'm not my friends. Well, really?
Yeah.
Really? It's like you point a finger at me and you've got three fingers coming right back at yourself. They're an extension of you. You know, what we despise most about people that we don't like or don't know is probably true about ourselves. I know I've been very judgmental in my past. There's a lot of things I'm absolutely not proud of. I certainly have a long way to go on my path, but I recognize that. You say, how do you pick yourself up? Well, go lighten up on yourself. You know, Pema Chodron talks, and she's a wonderful American Buddhist. There's so many books that she has, but she has one golden thread that permeates a lot of her writings. It's just lighten up on yourself. Every cell in your body has intelligence. It hears everything that you hold. You got to be careful what you're thinking. What you associate with, it's going to permeate. Yeah, like, for example, we were talking about the reticular activating system the other day. You'd never heard of you suddenly want to go out and buy a Ford, and all of a sudden you see that Ford everywhere. It's the same idea.
Right.
It's that one song that you hear in the morning, and you hate the song.
You
can't get it out of your head. It's the same thing. It's what you put in. It's going to come out. The same thing with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same things that we read. It's the magazines. It's these type of talks. The fact that people are listening to this says something deeply about them, and I feel so grateful to be here and sharing. Again, I'm not saying anything I'm saying is correct. It's been right for me.
Yeah. Oh, and it makes a whole lot of sense for me, and I imagine for a lot of our listeners. Well, one thing I wanted to ask, you have a rather talent. Can you share what that is? You know, I've seen images of what you've created.
You broke up for a second. Can you repeat the question?
Oh, I said, you have a rather unique artistic talent that I've seen pictures of. What is it that you do? Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, one thing that I've done is to try to get closer to my daughters is I started carving pumpkins. I am not artistic, but I am patient. And years ago, I found one of those kits that you guys have seen at your local supermarket called Pumpkin Masters. And again, I'm not the drawing guy, but I am patient. And I figured out how to do that pretty early on. Sadly, my daughters didn't want to get their hands dirty, and Dad started doing it. And the neighbors started coming by and going, hey, man, you're going to do one for me? And that eventually led into having my work seen all over Portland in restaurants and hotels. And it helped me create a nonprofit called Carve for the Cure, where I helped raise, in the 5 years I had it before I wrote the book, I helped raise thousands of dollars for a myriad of charities, for like Mercy Corps, for Children's Cancer Association, and with pumpkins. Now, the problem with pumpkins is what?
That it's seasonal.
They're only around. They're only what? Around for a month? Well, I figured out, you can do watermelon with alfalfa. So watermelons as well. If anybody cares, they can go on my Facebook page. We don't even have to be friends, and you can go through photos and see watermelons and pumpkins, and people seem to like them. I told Betsy before, my goal was to meet her. I came very late to the What the Bleep party, and it was just one of these, I have to meet this person. And we met, and I told her, if you come to Portland, I was having a Music Monday, a music festival in the Zen Gardens backyard, and I said, you come to Portland, and I will sculpt your face on a watermelon. And she laughed. She goes, yeah, right. I go, come on.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
In there. That's in there. I'm not kidding. So,
yeah,
it's been fun. I do it every year. I donate a lot to charity.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom. And this has been such a gift to have you on my show. And again, folks can go to Tom's website, Tom Ziemann, Ziemann, and they can order a copy of the Department of Zenitation, A Layman's Guide to Making Spirituality Work in Real Life. And believe me, it will. So thank you so much. And look forward to seeing you in August.
It's an absolute honor, and thank you to all your wonderful listeners, and have a great day. Namaste.
Thanks. Namaste. And folks, my guest next week is Cheyenne Meese. We're going to be talking about the concept of Always Be True to Yourself, A Guide to Clarity, Wisdom, and Harmony. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, asking you the all-important question, what does your vivid life look like? Hoping that it includes fulfilling and thriving relationships in all areas. Until next time, sending you abundant love from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Yeah, what an angel you are.